people you think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
That some days I even love me. Coming from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. At the beginning of the show at noon today, I said I can no longer just restrict what is happening to our state to the radical left. It is now incredibly painfully obvious to me that Democrats are killing our state and are killing people. And I was mentioning the new House bill that went into effect midnight yesterday that is restricting police from being able to do their job in many cases. And I talked to three cops this weekend. I'll recap all of this coming up. But I believe a Democratic state representative is going to talk to me live in a few minutes here. So I'll be able to not say it just into a microphone, but I'll talk to a bona fide Democrat about that. So as I await that, we're trying to get that put together as we speak right now. But let me give you some other examples of just the kind of nonsense that people are spewing. As I said at the beginning of the show, our mayor, Jenny Durkin, Jenny Durkin and Chief Diaz, they had a press conference at noon today. And they talked about how we need to spend more money. We need to get more life coaches. And we need to get social workers responding to 911 calls. And meanwhile, the Democrats in the state legislature have taken away the police's ability to do their jobs. But I want to know where Jay Inslee is. All he talks about are masks and climate change. But this weekend, you had a murder in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle. On Friday night, you had three murdered. On Saturday night, actually early Sunday morning, three murdered, five others injured with gunshot wounds. One of the people murdered in Pioneer Square was just an innocent bystander trying to duck for cover while two guys had a shootout, a Wild West shootout in Pioneer Square. There was a murder in Federal Way this weekend, two in Tacoma this weekend. There were four murders in Tacoma last week, along with the two this weekend. A Clark County Sheriff's deputy was murdered this weekend. In Yakima, a law enforcement officer and a suspect exchanged gunfire. They were both shot. And another shooting in Seattle this morning. A man was stabbed in the head by the Seattle Center this weekend. Where is Jay Inslee? This is not just a Seattle problem. And meanwhile, we've completely tied the hands of cops to do their job because of the Democratic in state legislature that voted for House Bill 1310. And I told you at the time, I told you as it was being debated, that it would be one of the most dangerous things ever done by our state legislature. And we are already seeing examples of that. And I will tell you more about that a little bit later this hour, because I talked to three cops in three different agencies yesterday as I was preparing for today's show. But the nonsense just continues on so many levels. Over the weekend, you had Patty Murray, our senator, who just does nothing. Patty Murray said that the hot temperatures we had a couple of weeks ago, and this is a 100% lie, what she said about the hot temperatures of a couple of weeks ago.
I certainly am feeling and felt the crisis in Washington State. I was home during that latest heat wave where it was 108, 110 in Seattle. I've never seen it like that before. Scientists really confirmed what we know when they said it would have been virtually impossible for that to get that hot in the Pacific Northwest of all places if it wasn't caused by climate change.
Okay, absolute 100% verifiable lie. That scientists know it could not get that hot in the Pacific Northwest if not for climate change. We didn't set a state record during that heat wave. It was 118 degrees at Ice Harbor Dam on August 5th, 1961. Now, Patty Murray, you said it's impossible for the Northwest to get as hot as it did, up to 108, 110, if not for climate change. How did it get to 118 degrees in 1961? Was that because of the internal combustion engine? We had it 114 degrees in 1928. when climate change was but a glimmer in Jay Inslee's parents' eyes. How did it get to 114 in 1928, Patty Murray, when we had no climate change? It's just, they just say stuff because they know it's a way to control trillions of dollars eventually.
We actually saw streetcars fry in Portland. Parts of I-5, our main highway there, buckled. And worst of all, we saw a death toll of about 91 people in our state. So this is real and it's urgent.
Roadways have buckled every year since we had a State Department of Transportation, going back decades, scores of decades, not scores of decades, score of decades would be 200 years. I got myself going back scores of years. How about that? So that's also a lie. Roads didn't buckle because of climate change. Roads buckle every single year. And I don't even think buckling's the right word. My engineer friend was listening a couple weeks ago and said, no, they're not buckling there. I can't remember what the word is. It was a word I'd never heard of before, but they aren't buckling. There's an engineering term for what they were doing. And they always tell us, oh, the science is settled. It's all settled. And Dory, if you don't believe that man plays a huge role in climate change, because I'm not a climate change denier. The climate is a changing, as it has for millennia on this planet. I just think that man's role is greatly overstated. And the population of Washington State should not be taxed billions of dollars when we're responsible for like 1/50 of 1% of global climate emissions. If you don't get China and India on board, the little tiny grain of sand on this giant beach that Washington represents does not represent anything. You could end all climate emissions or carbon emissions in Washington State and it would have zero effect on the planet. But Jay Inslee taxes us billions of dollars collectively because he keeps telling these lies. So this was interesting. In 2016, the New York Times printed a map of the United States. As climate changes, southern states will suffer more than others. And it shows this heat map and how all the southern states can have the most dramatic temperature increases. That was 2016. And the science was settled. New York Times in last week. America in 2090, the impact of extreme heat on northern states. And they have a heat map, and now it's the northern states that are all red. 5 years ago, their heat map, the southern states were all red. The science was settled 5 years ago. Nobody can question it. We'll put you in prison if you deny man's role. And now the New York Times does a 180-degree flip-flop. The newspaper of record. How about this? The Washington, this is funny. So this weekend, the Washington Post, they had an opinion piece. Think twice before changing the tax rules to soak billionaires. Huh? The Washington Post, the liberal Washington Post doesn't think we should soak billionaires, but that's a core liberal perspective. Of course, liberals think we should soak billionaires. But the Washington Post, in an editorial, says no, or an opinion piece. Wait, here's another opinion piece. The smartest way to make the rich pay is not a wealth tax, in the Washington Post. Here's another opinion piece in the Washington Post. The billionaire space race benefits the rest of us. Really? Let's see. Who owns the Washington Post? Oh, yeah, the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos. If he wasn't their owner, it would be soak the rich, wealth tax, the crazy ego of the space race among billionaires. But instead, it's billionaires are doing the Lord's work. And the wealth tax is a horrible thing. And we shouldn't soak billionaires. It must be nice to be able to buy what is a somewhat influential media outlet in Washington, D.C. But that's just the way it goes. And then a little closer to home, Jenny Durkin sent out a tweet. I'll play you some of the cuts from her press conference today. Jenny Durkin sent out the tweet. Now, this was a horribly violent week in Seattle. Most of the shooters that they're looking for are black and brown people. And most of the victims, quite sadly, are black and brown people. Jenny Durkin sent out a tweet. I want to acknowledge that much of the violence and destruction, both here in Seattle and across the country, has been instigated and perpetrated by white men. Oh, wait, she sent that tweet in May of 2020, when it was very fashionable to do that. And so everybody keeps asking me, I'm getting a bunch of text messages and emails. Nobody was able to refute the ironclad case that I laid out at the beginning of the show, that this is caused by Democratic lawmakers and the people who vote for them, which is a huge part of my listening audience, because I have people across the spectrum who listen. And I'm not in the business of insulting my listeners, but I am in the business of telling the truth, especially when nobody else in the media is willing to call this a gang war, which it is. Every cop knows that. Every cop in the region knows that all these, not all these deaths, but the majority of these murders are an extension of a gang war. The gang war is an extension of legalizing drugs. The drugs prevalency is an extension of Joe Biden opening up the border to unmasked illegal aliens who have not been tested for COVID. Everybody else has to get tested and should wear a mask. Unless you're an illegal alien, then just come on in. Come on, we'll welcome you with open arms. I just saw breaking news. King County libraries are now going to require masks of everybody in the libraries. Even if you're vaccinated, they say. Why? Were they lying to us about the vaccine? Were the conspiracy theorists correct that the vaccine is not really protecting us? Because I believe in the vaccine. I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm just against government mandate. And I will tell you right now, because there's a lot of talk, the King County Board of Health doctor is recommending masks indoors. I am done with masks. I got the vaccine. I'm not a risk to anybody, and supposedly anybody's not a risk to me since I got the vaccine. And if I do get something, get COVID, I'm supposed to get a very mild case since I got the vaccine. But I'm done with masks, and I'm probably going to get take a different approach than I did last year, because I was fine with masking in private business establishments. Because it's their private business and they can run it the way they see fit. And if they were mandating masks, I don't like government doing that, but if a private company does, they have much more latitude, in my view. But I'm done with masks. And so now, if my local grocery store, if they go back to a mask mandate, I'm going to go in unmasked. And when that happened last year, man, really cute, good workers, you know, the courtesy clerks. If I accidentally, and I did, I just forgot to put on a mask a couple times when I went into the grocery store. And man, the courtesy clerk running at me. Sir, do you have a mask? Sir, can I get you a mask? And then, you know, they were really sweet. They were just doing their job. But I'm not going to do that again. I'm done. And now if a private business says, you got to leave. No, I got to buy groceries. Groceries are a staple. You're an essential business. I'm going to just buy my groceries. I'm vaccinated. I'm fine. And, yeah, I'll take all the dirty looks and all of that. But I'm done with all that. And they seem to be acknowledging that they've been lying to us about the vaccine. I mean, it was all, we got to get 70% vaccinated. Now we're at 72% unvaccinated. Now we get to get all the children vaccinated. Was that all a lie? If you're vaccinated, you're supposed to not be at risk and not risk to others. So it just goes on and on. Okay, let's go to the Jenny Durkin. If you missed it, the Jenny Durkin press conference at noon today. First of all, I talked about the fact that Jenny Durkin, Dow Constein, Jay Inslee's missing in action. Jay Inslee, what shootings? I don't know. First I've heard about it. There were lots of shootings in our state this weekend. Oh, really? Oh, okay, well, I'll look into that when I get back to my staff. Jay Inslee apparently has not heard of any of the murders around the state this weekend. Jenny Durkin wants to send out more social workers to 911 calls. Dow Constantine wants to send out life coaches. So, as I was saying, I'm getting all these texts, emails. So what's the plan, Dory? If their plan is you're just going to criticize, what's the plan? I've told you the plan. Got to have stop and frisk. Got to take guns away from bad guys. We have to get fathers back in the lives of children and families. Instead, the Black Lives Matter platform was to eliminate the traditional Western nuclear family. In pop culture, dads are always the butt of jokes. Sadly, in the Black community, more than 70% of kids are born out of wedlock. And boys without dads? I was a boy without a dad. I know a little bit about this from my lived experience. Ooh, I just used a... I just used a progressive phrase. From my lived experience, I know about growing up without a dad. And thank you, God, I stayed on the straight and narrow. But kids, especially boys, without dads, are prevalent to the gang life. And they have much higher chance, and this is just facts, these are statistics, this is provable. They have a much higher chance of falling into gangs. They have a much greater chance of growing up in poverty. I grew up in poverty in large part because I did not have a dad in the house. And we've got to stop demonizing fathers in our society. We've got to stop with end the patriarchy, which has become a rallying cry of the people marching in the streets. End the patriarchy. No, honor fathers and mothers. Let's restore the family. That's what has to happen. And you can spend billions of dollars. But if you have kids growing up without dads, if you have dads being ridiculed and the butt of jokes, then we're going to continue to have these problems. We've got to take guns away, not from the good guys, but from the bad guys. But instead, we've gone in the complete opposite direction. Okay, I'm excited to say, a Democratic state rep, I've made some very scurrilous things that I've said about him and his colleagues and their voters, is going to join me live right after we check the news. Let me take a quick time out. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Aaron's going to check the news, and then I'll talk live with Democratic state rep Roger Goodman. That is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, I love it anytime somebody with a different perspective than mine is willing to come on the show, because I think those discussions can be very productive and enlightening. I said some very harsh things about Democrats and their voters at the beginning of the show today. I think they're killing the state and killing people, and I think this murderous weekend is an example of it. Democratic State Representative Roger Goodman joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Representative, I really do appreciate you coming on with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Dory. Good to be back.
Okay. So let's talk, first of all, about House Bill 1310, because I talked to three police officers from three different agencies yesterday, and I'm not going to name the cities because I don't want to call out the cops, but over this weekend, there was a suicidal guy holed up in his home in a suburban Seattle city. Cops weren't allowed to go in because he had not committed a crime under 1310. At a group home, there was a man defecating all over himself, all over his room. He'd been locked in his room for 40 hours. They called the police. They were not allowed to respond because he had not committed a crime. And one officer told me if the kid was standing on the roof of a high school threatening suicide to jump off, the police, they could not put hands on him to try to pull him back because he's not committed a crime. Why in the world? There are not better safeguards in 1310 that you guys voted for.
Yeah, we're getting into the fact-specific cases, right? I mean, it's hard to say with each one of those examples, because you're relating it to us, but what actually was happening. If someone is about to jump off a roof, mm-hmm. that certainly fits within the definition of imminent harm, and police could certainly prevent someone from taking their own life. If someone is, I'm trying to think, what are the other examples you have?
Guys locked in with dementia for 40 hours, defecating all over himself in the room. Police cannot come and break down the door to his room because they asked him. They asked an officer to help get this guy on a stretcher. Let's get him the help he needs. He has not committed a crime. They cannot do anything.
Well, if, I don't know the details, but if there was a designated crisis responder there who said this guy needs to be detained because he meets the criteria for imminent harm, then police would have the authority to put their hands on them. And we're talking about use of force. That's not violent. We're talking about restraining someone or assisting them, to transport them for evaluation for mental health crisis. So, imminent harm is, and also you could have a situation, any particular hypothetical where designated crisis responders on the scene. The designated crisis responder has determined that this person meets the eligibility to be detained for evaluation. Mm-hmm. And then the police get there and the guy's just sitting there. And so the police may not see that there's imminent harm, but what that person did prior to the police getting there was probably criminal activity. That would then
No, his family members called because they knew that he was inside threatening suicide. And he'd not committed a crime.
Yeah. In that case, that sounds like imminent harm to me. And I would think that the police would, to err on the side of caution, would assist that person to get evaluated for mental health crisis.
Let me read to you. I've got the bill in front of me. I've got a bunch of stuff. I went through the entire bill word for word, Representative. You've said that they must use less lethal alternatives, but then you also ban the caliber of gun that shoots beanbags. And you specifically say they should use beanbags, and then you prohibited the kind of gun that shoots beanbags. What sense does that make?
Yeah, so that's a situation where we are strongly encouraging the use of less lethal means.
Mm-hmm.
And so we specifically mentioned beanbags. There are other types of projectiles as well. And then in the other statute, prevented the 50 caliber firearm from being used. But it's a very clear legislative intent that we intend for less than lethal means to be used. And what we've been hearing from some police agencies, a minority of them, is that they're going to report on another agency that uses less lethal weapons because they think it's not legal. The Criminal Justice Training Commission will not be, it won't receive that very well. I mean, if one agency is going
to you've prohibited the beanbag guns. You tell them to use beanbags, but you prohibited the beanbag guns, right?
Right. So if they're going to, and if that needs to be clarified, we can clarify that for sure, because everyone understands the legislative intent.
No. Because cops can't live on intent. Cops, if they're facing a civil lawsuit, if they're facing criminal charges, what you guys intended does not matter at all. The letter of the law, what you passed into law, is what matters.
Yeah.
And in so many of these cases, when using physical force, use the least amount of physical force necessary to overcome resistance. Who's going to make the judgment on that? If a cop has, a heroin or meth addict, and they're told by the letter of your law they must use the least amount of physical force necessary, but they got a crazy person that they're hands-on with. Who's going to determine something as vague as that?
If they've got a person who's out of control, they will use the least amount of, they will use an amount of force that is proportional to what they're dealing with. And then when the force is no longer necessary, they will stop using force. This is what they're trained. Neither you nor I are trained to do this.
I agree. I have a lot of cops who are great friends of mine.
The training that's going on right now is what the law now has codified. We haven't changed anything. We have, because the Criminal Justice Training Commission gave us very specific guidance on this.
Well, no, you
so
changed
what
many
put
things.
In law so, is what we're not doing anything new. This is what. Well,
okay, look, here's section 2B of the law. They must use the least amount of physical force necessary, and that gives a list of who they must use the least amount of force on, and includes anybody who displays signs of mental, behavioral, or physical impairments or disabilities. Every crazy, we got a lot of crazy people on the streets right now, Representative. And now you've
like
specifically in law
that's
listed.
That's not a very respectful way of talking about them. These are people who are suffering from mental illness. Don't call them crazy people.
I like you a lot, Ripson. I don't tell you how to talk. This is a free country. I don't like it when the government tells me what words I
can
should
tell
use.
You that I don't
I'm just
like
trying
that
to clearly communicate
I think
here.
It's disrespectful. So, yeah.
Well, you
can,
right. you
well,
that's
not that. Clearly communicated.
I think House Bill 1310 is ridiculous. But okay,
anyway,
I mean, whatever phrase you want to use.
Specifically trained to do this. And police agencies already have policies in place to do this. This isn't what we're doing.
So why was this necessary?
A very clear statewide. We're creating a clear statewide standard because there have been a wide variety of policies on use of force where force was unnecessarily used in many places.
Okay.
I can tell you, Seattle Police Department says that the laws we just passed will have minimal effect on their current policies and their current practices.
Well, I know. The
training,
interim chief has to say
the training's not going
to
change.
Okay,
no,
let's talk about the bigger picture. I know our time is short, but I really want you to have a chance to respond to all the points that I brought up. And that was, you know, what's happening because of your party. In Seattle, we have a city council that has disrespected police. Some of them openly hate cops. We're at dangerously low staffing levels. We have a King County prosecutor who has legalized drugs. By the way, do you think that's working? Legal, de facto legalization. Personal possession amounts of heroin, meth. This is a drug war. This is a gang war that is killing predominantly black and brown people in our region. Do you think legalizing drugs has worked?
Legalizing drugs is another politically charged statement. What we've done is provide for intervention for a behavioral health crisis. If people have a substance use disorder, we all know it's counterproductive to lock them up. And so if you're
No, we don't know that.
We're going to give you help, right? That's the law that we just passed.
I am all for that. That the first option should be a social safety net, and we always offer treatment and get the homeless people a room and the treatment they need, whether it's for addiction or for mental health or whatever. That should always be the first choice. But we go into those homeless encampments, and 95% of the people refuse any and all help. Those people should be locked up because they're creating a public menace and people are dying because of it, Representative.
Well, I mean, again, if someone is suffering from a behavioral health crisis, they need help. If they're harmed to themselves or others, they can actually be brought into a secure facility.
That is not happening.
It actually does. It does happen.
It happens. In 5% of the cases.
I'm not going to speak on behalf of Seattle, but you know, on the state level, we're putting in place with major investments, hundreds of millions of dollars to make up for 30 years of neglect into the behavioral health system. So we have to ramp it up for sure. I don't want to be punishing people who are suffering from a substance use disorder. I think they need help, and we're providing more and more help, pre-arrest diversion, and all sorts of other opportunities other than jail and punishment.
Seattle and King County,
you can always point out a worst case scenario.
I'm talking about the reality right now. In Seattle and King County, you're a Kirkland guy. We've spent $10 billion in the last 10 to 12 years on the homeless. And it's not doing any good because no matter how many we get, you know, housing for, more are coming in from around the country because this is the least barrier place to be a heroin addict. And you can steal at will, and gun felons are being let out of prison while politicians say we need more gun control. I just don't understand anything you guys are doing right now.
What was untrue?
What did I just say that was sensational or untrue?
Everything you just said is just this broad sweep of how dangerous everything. I'm in Pioneer Square right now at my law office, and I'm seeing tourists walking down the sidewalks, and they're enjoying ice cream.
Well, that's wonderful.
All of this
it wasn't
this,
that
this,
way at 2:30 on Sunday morning when three people were shot and killed in your vicinity there, and five others were injured.
In the very early morning when there's disorder, more likely than any other time, for sure.
Deaths matter less, depending on time of day.
But I can say that on the statewide level, we're making major progress.
I know we're desperately short on time. What did I say that was untrue, that you said was too broad a brush? We've spent $10 billion on homelessness. It's getting worse instead of better. We had hundreds of people with gun felonies who were let out of prison in the last year, while others say we need tougher gun laws. I mean, what's untrue? What's sensational about any of that, Representative?
The problem of homelessness is probably the most vexing and serious problem in the urban areas. And that is linked to many other problems. We have not made progress on finding a secure housing and housing opportunities for those who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford it and for those who are suffering from behavioral health crisis. Honestly, the problem of homelessness is the most serious and the most difficult for us to solve on the state level.
Right. But we've spent $10 billion. I mean, how much? We had the 10-year King County plan to end homelessness that was in, I think, 2006.
Yeah.
It's been 15 years. Yeah. The problem has gotten dramatically worse. We've spent $10 billion. How much money do we have to give you guys in the legislature? $20 billion, $100 billion? What's it going to take? It's not money,
well,
is my point, Representative. Money is not helping.
Land use. Yeah, these are local land use decisions. I can say on the east side and the communities that I represent, we've made different land use decisions that have allowed for people to be housed, even if they are of limited means. And so, you know, it's a lot of these are local decisions. This isn't the legislature creating the homelessness problem. It's,
right.
It's,
but we allow people to be housed in Seattle.
We've gone far afield from the question of whether police are even going to show up to the scene. Really? I mean, if police say, well, if it's not a crime, we're not going to show up. The public expects the police to respond to calls.
I talked to three cops yesterday. Their radios went silent at midnight Sunday because this new bill was introduced, and there's a triage, they explained to me, a call receiver, the dispatcher, and then the sergeant on duty. And they have to decide if they can respond to these calls, and the radios
they
went
can
silent.
Respond. They should respond. It's just
they
what
can't.
They do when they
you
get
passed
there.
A bill that's prohibited them from responding to things that are non-criminal.
Not at all. They are almost obligated to respond. It's what they do when they get there. The rules of engagement may have changed a little bit, but the public expects police to respond to calls. It's all what right. they do when they get there. How do they know what's going on until they get there? The public expects the police to respond to calls.
Oh, I know I'm running so late, but listen, they can talk to people, and in the course of that, they can get probable cause. Now they are not allowed to talk to a suspected criminal until they have probable cause.
They can detain them and tell them they're not free to go. And if they try to leave, then they're obstructing a police investigation. There's a crime right there. They can adapt. And most of the police agencies have said to us, we will adapt. We will continue to serve the community. We understand your intent and we support your intent. We want more equity in treatment of people. We want less violence between police and the community.
Okay.
And I think we're going to get there. This is a bump in the road. This is not a crisis.
I enjoy conversations like this very much. And I appreciate you coming on with me, Representative.
Thanks, Dory. It's good
All
to
right.
talk with you.
Thank you, sir. All right, Roger Goodman represents Kirkland State Legislature, and we got more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, it is time. I appreciate Roger Goodman coming on. I like when Democrats are willing to come on our show. Let's get right to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Okay, we have an update we played for you earlier. Joe Biden, he was being shouted at by reporters on his way to Marine One, and he said something. He just seemed to be screaming crazily. Oh, I can't say crazy. The government has told me I can't say crazy anymore. But he screamed something, and it sounded suspiciously like, well, here it is.
Must it be a reconciliation?
My butt's been wiped.
Okay, everybody who heard that thought he said, my butt's been wiped. In fact, here it was in slow-mo.
My butt's been wiped.
My butt's been wiped.
Okay, according to the White House, he did not say, my butt's been wiped. They claim that he said, my gut's been right on whatever issue they're shouting to him. So it's his gut, not his butt. It's right, not wiped. Candace Owens, I mentioned I love Candace Owens. It is interesting how much people are trying to divide us by race. That's what critical race theory is all about. The NFL has announced it will play the Black National Anthem and the national anthem. And Candace Owens had a really interesting thing to say about that.
And does America need a new national anthem? No, what America needs is a new favorite pastime, because it should no longer be football or any sport that endorses segregation. Might I suggest the UFC, which is exploding right now, and it's because they do not get involved in politics, they are not woke, and they do not bend the knee. You know, Dana White, we've had him on the show. I'm a big fan of the UFC. I think it's the only real sport left. It is just such a sad, sad circumstance that we are in when you are quite literally claiming to be fighting racism while at the same time introducing segregation. There is not such thing as a Black national anthem versus a white national anthem. That's exactly what my black ancestors fought to put an end to. It's just so sad to see Jim Crow slip into this country again under the guise of progressivism. So I say, no, we don't need a national anthem, but you do need a new sport. Do not watch it.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to play the black national anthem and then the Star Spangled Banner, are they saying that that is the white national anthem? Because I thought the Star Spangled Banner represented all Americans. But now we've got to divide. We've got to segregate. At the Olympics, I'm not watching the Olympics right now. Although there are some cool stories. I saw a woman fencer, first American ever to win gold, and she was adorable. She's also a med student. She's married to a guy who was on the men's fencing team back in 08. The U.S. flag bearer, Eddie Alvarez, he's a baseball player. And he got emotional talking about carrying the flag Friday night.
Means everything to me. Again, I owe so much to my parents, to my family. I came over to this country, so to be able to lead Team USA is an absolute honor. There's a lot of sacrifice I've had to make in this life, my athletic career. So just absolutely incredibly honored, and what a privilege.
Eddie Alvarez, that's a cool story. And I'm missing the cool stories because the Olympics have just become too woke for me. All right, that's going to do it for us this afternoon. This thing flew by today. My goodness gracious. Tom and Curly Show is coming up next. Check out our podcast if you missed anything. We had a lot of cool stuff today. And I will see you back here. God bless you in these crazy times. See you back tomorrow. Hi, noon.
You did it! Congratulations! Great job, everybody.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.